those of you who have been here any length of time at all must be aware of the fact that I'm very fond of Hebrews 13:5, the last line, "I will never leave thee." Nor forsake thee. And I'm sure that most of you have heard me remind you that there are five negatives in that line. Now, in the English, a double negative is bad. Like you say, "I ain't got no money." That's bad. The reason I know it's bad is because I ain't got no money. And that's bad. Or I have not got here. No. No, I have no bananas. That's a common one. And a double negative is bad English. Being such a good grammarian as I am, it's hard for me even to try to use the double negative, as you can see. I just don't recall. I ain't never used one, far as I know. But anyway, it is bad grammar in the English to use a double negative. It is good grammar in the Greek. In fact, in the Greek, it emphasizes something. "I ain't got no money" means I really ain't got no money. It's like a little story that everybody's heard and everybody's told, and you know it. It's one kind you chuckle about when you hear it again. Little boy that said, "Mama, I ate 7 oysters." She said, "No, 8. "Well, maybe it was 8 I ate," he said. And so, now, the double negative is a bad usage of the English language, but it is not for the Greek. So the Lord, when he tells us he'll never leave us, never forsake us, he doesn't use a double negative. He uses 5 negatives. This is a sentence of negatives. We have, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's good English. But translated properly, it'd be about like this. "No, I will not never leave thee, and I will not never forsake thee." 5 negatives in one sentence. The Lord is simply saying, "I will not leave you. I 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 will not leave you." He's underlining the fact that he will not leave his own. There's a beautiful little play on words found in the story of Jacob in the Bible. And I want to call to your attention that story this morning. You need not turn to the scriptures, but I will read them for you. 4 times the Lord uses something, a statement akin to this statement, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," as he tells us the story, the beautiful story of Jacob. You recall the story of Jacob. Jacob was a spoiled brat. He was a mama's boy. He was a sissy. To be quite frank with you, and you've heard me say this also many times, I do not greatly admire Jacob. I like Elijah, Moses, John the Baptist, Abraham, and many others, but I'm just not really a great follower of Jacob. I've often said that if Jacob were running for president against McGovern, I'd vote for McGovern. That's how bad I feel about Jacob. Jacob was a sissy, a mama's boy and a sissy. You recall the story. One day Esau, his brother, and by the way, his twin brother, who was older than Jacob just by that much time, Esau was born with Jacob holding on to his heel, the Bible says. Esau went hunting. Jacob did not go hunting. He wanted to stay home and make soup. That's the reason I don't like him. Anybody wants to make soup while somebody's going hunting is a sissy. And so he stayed home to make soup. The Bible calls it red soup. Actually, it calls it red. The nearest thing we'd have to it would be chili. So Jacob stayed home. He made some hot chili, and Esau came in. He was so tired, been hunting all day. He thought he was going to die. I mean, literally thought he was going to die. He said, "Jacob, boy, that chili smells good. Let me have a bowl of it." And Jacob said, "No, I made the chili. It's my chili. I'm working this side of the street, and you can't have any." And so Esau said, "Now, Jacob, look, I'm about to die, and if you don't let me have something to eat, I'm going to die. I mean, I mean it. I'm about to drop dead now." And Jacob said, okay, if you're that of shape, said, let me have your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of chili. Well, Esau said, my birthright? Yes, that's right. Now, what does a birthright mean? The oldest child had the birthright. That means he got a double portion of the father's inheritance. It also means that when the father died, the oldest son would be the priest of the family, as I mentioned in my Sunday school class this morning. It also means that the one who had the birthright would be the seed carrier and be in the genealogy of the coming Messiah. Well, that's a big thing. I mean, a bowl of soup for a birthright, that's unbelievable. So Esau said, why, man, no. And Jacob, okay, go ahead and die. Well, Esau said, I guess I'm going to die anyway. And if I die, the birthright won't do me any good. And the priestly rights won't do me any good. And I don't care if I'm in the promised land or not. I'm going to die. Okay, here's the birthright. Let me have the chili. And so for a bowl of red soup, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. That isn't all. When their father Isaac died, Isaac, who loved Esau very much, called him to his bedside to bless him. Now, Jacob was a mama's boy. Esau was daddy's boy. Esau was blind by now. He called Isaac to the bedside to bless him. Jacob heard about it and got there first. He went out and got an animal, took the skins off the animal, put it on his skins. Esau was a hairy fellow. Jacob was a very fair-complected kind of person, was not hairy, and so Jacob wanted to get the blessing of his dying father, so he got the skins, put them on his hands, put them around his neck. He walks up to his father's bedside. His father, who's blind, says, Esau, is that you? And Jacob disguised his voice and says, yes, father, this is Esau, dirty liar. And so he said, if you don't believe it, reach out and touch my hand. So the father blind reaches out and touches the hand of Jacob. Sure enough, it was hairy like Esau's hand. And he said, okay, reach him up and touch my neck. Reached up and touched his neck, and sure enough, it was hairy like Esau's neck and back was. So Isaac said, that's Esau, okay. And so he gave the blessing, he thought, to Esau, and Jacob got the blessing. Now then, Jacob has Esau's birthright. Jacob has Esau's inheritance. Jacob has Esau's blessing. And Esau finds out about it, and he said, I'll kill him, is what I'll do. And so, folks, Brother Bob, help me, do what we're supposed to do back there. That's right. It doesn't matter what he is, we're supposed to keep the doors closed now, and they're supposed to go to church somewhere else instead of coming in. And so, Esau says, I'll kill him. And so, he takes off after Jacob. And Jacob's mother, Rebecca, says to Jacob, Jacob, sweetie face, that's what most mothers like that say. And by the way, mothers, don't call your boys darling and precious and sweetheart and sweetie face. And don't Gucci goo them. And for Pete's sakes, get them haircuts when they're little bitty boys. And make them look like boys. So when should you give a kid a haircut? While the doctor's spanking him on the bottom. That's when you ought to do it. And when he's born. And when should he wear blue jeans or pants? As soon as they get a diaper on him. Make a man. And so Rebecca says, Jacob, Esau's going to kill you. Now what you better do is leave. And so Jacob, Rebecca says, Jacob, you go down to the homeland. Now, it's 500 miles away. Go down to our home country. Here, we'd say, go down to Kentucky. And go down to the homeland now, Padanaram, and get you a bride, and stay there. And Jacob leaves. Now, listen. This wasn't easy for Jacob. For Esau, wouldn't have been so bad. Esau was an independent kind of fellow anyhow. Jacob wasn't. Esau was a rugged individual. Jacob wasn't. Jacob was a mama's boy. Probably is the first night he ever spent away from his mama in his life. And so Jacob leaves home. And you can see the touching scene as Rebecca says goodbye to Jacob. He starts on his journey, comes to a place, it's nighttime, he's sleepy and he's tired. He decides to go to sleep. And so he gets him some stones and puts those stones all together and makes him a pillow and puts his head on those stones. And there lies young Jacob. He has hedges for curtains, the heavens for his canopy, the earth for his bed, stones for his pillow, and God for his companion. And he goes to sleep, and he has a dream. He dreams that he sees a ladder, And that ladder goes all the way from earth to heaven. And he sees angels on that ladder, going up the ladder and down the ladder, up the ladder and down the ladder. And after Jacob wakes up, the Lord talks to him. And the Lord says, Jacob, I am with thee. Listen to what the Lord says. It says, and behold, I am with thee. That's God's promise, Jacob. I'm with you. He said, Jacob, you're homesick for your mother, but I'm with you. You're homesick for your father, but I'm with you. You're homesick for your family, but I'm with you. You're homesick for your friends, but I'm with you. God is simply saying, though Jacob was not right with God, though Jacob had tricked his own brother, though Jacob had tricked his own brother of his birthright and his blessing and tricked his own father, yet the Lord said, I am with thee. Yes, I am. I'm so glad about that. I'm glad that God never leaves his people. Did you know the moment that you received Jesus as your personal Savior, the moment you knelt at an altar or maybe bowed your head in your home and you said, Lord, I receive you as my own Savior. I trust you to take me to heaven when I die. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did you know from that moment unto the time, well, forever, forever, Jesus is always with you. I am with thee. I'm with you when you go off to college and you're homesick for mom and dad. I am with thee. I'm with you when you go to the operating room and you wonder if you'll come out alive. I am with thee. I'm with you when you turn your back from the funeral home and walk away from a little grave and a little baby is laid in that grave and you think the sun will never shine again. I am with thee. I'm with you when you're broke and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet financially. I am with thee. I am with thee. I know of no greater promise than all the Bible. None, none. Just name it. I know of no greater promise than for the God of gods to be with me all the time. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He was with me when I was in the army. He was with me when I jumped out of the airplane. He didn't want me to jump, but... when I jumped out of the airplane, the paratroopers, he's been with me now all these years, and I thought about this. He's been with us in this auditorium so wonderfully. My relive some of the sweet experiences here in this. How many of you were here the night we cleaned this place up before we dedicated it? How many were? Huh? And you helped us? Thank you. And what a wonderful time we had. All but one of us. Brother Fisk over here was here at the time, and... he went outside to sweep off the sidewalk, went down on the corner. At that time, had a wall there, didn't we? A block wall on the corner. And about 2:30 in the morning, we were all here cleaning up the place, getting ready for the services the next morning, or that morning, and three fellas jumped out of a car and got Brother Fisk and did to him what I've wanted to do so many times. And... literally beat the fire out of him. Doesn't have much fire in him, but he came to church the next morning. His eyes were shut. He'd been to the hospital, black and blue, face all beat up, and I guess they tried to kill him. Did they? Somebody come and help you? George Randall came, so you had little help at all. And anyway, I guess they'd have killed you if they did rob you, and that was one of the poorest nights they ever had, but they'd known as a preacher that never tried to rob you. But anyway, that night and the next morning, remember, we came in this building, 1,935 people in Sunday school, I think it was. 35 people got saved. We never had 35 folks saved one Sunday then. 1,900 people in this building. Remember that night? How many remember who preached the first Sunday night? Who remember? Dr. Beecham Vick. At that time was pastor of the largest church in the world. We, by the way, at the dedication day this year for this building, we're going to have the largest pastor of the largest church in the world here too, and I'll be preaching. And Dr. Vick came preach for us, and we had some wonderful times. I was reliving last night the one. Remember the day we had 10,000 in Sunday school? Nobody ever had 10,000 before. Now then, we've had far more than that. But what an exciting day it was. We had the 10,000 Sunday school and the pastor's school. Do you know more preachers have had their ministries transformed and more churches have been completely changed and grown big churches by decisions made in this auditorium than any other room in the whole world. If there is a building in America sacred to God, it's this building right here. And then, of course, the youth conferences. And then the Sunday, we had 23,000 in Sunday school, and it was snowing outside. You couldn't see across the street. It was snowing outside, and 23,000 people in Sunday school. And then, of course, the fire and many other things, and then the funny things. We've had so many. One of the funniest things, the night we had old-fashioned night, and I said, anybody up here want to sing one stanza of favorite song, or Out of the Darkness, Earl Dukes? You couldn't see him because it's old-fashioned night and the lights were all off. He said, when they ring those golden bells. Well, I was leading the first stanza, and I couldn't think of the words to save my life. When they ring those golden bells. I said, start it off for us. And he couldn't think of it either. And now the darkness came. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Then there was a time when Dr. Billings was baptizing up here in the baptistry, and he baptized the little children. But for some reason or other, a very attractive young lady was being baptized. And she was the only one that wasn't a child that time. And Dr. Billings baptized her and didn't get her all the way under. So when you don't get a child all the way under, you usually say, okay, now let's go under again. And Dr. Billings forgot she was an adult. And instead of saying, ma'am, we'll have to take you down again, he said, let's do that again, sweetheart. And so we have the only X-rated baptistry in the entire country. And, oh my, there was a time we were having the Lord's Supper and Jim Lyons up there, that table up there, had a big stack of trays about that high. He reached out to get a tray, and when he did, his elbow or something hit all the trays, and the trays, almost all those trays and all that juice came right down on you folks back there. In fact, if I were you, I'd never sit back there. I'd sit over on the side somewhere. And Jim Lyons, being the man of action he is, when he saw the trays about to fall, he went and stood there, and as I went, so the Lord, an angel came, pushed the trays back, and so many sweet, happy, funny times we've enjoyed in this building. And now we come to the last Sunday morning, but thank God he's with us today. I am with thee. Jacob, I know you're not going to see your mother for 20 years, but I'm with you. Jacob, I know you won't see your dad for 20 years, but I'm with you. Jacob, I know you won't see your family for 20 years, but I'm with you. Jacob, I know you won't see your country for 20 years, but I'm with you. Jacob, I know you won't see your friends for 20 years, but I'm with you. I am with thee. What a blessed promise. Now Jacob leaves and goes on his journey toward Padan Aram. There's a second promise that God gave to Jacob, a second statement about God's presence, and that's found in chapter 31 and verse 3. Listen to this. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now the first promise is, I am with thee. And the second promise is, I will be with thee. Say, I like that too. Not only does God say, I'm with you now, but God says, I'll be with you next Sunday in the Civic Center. Jacob, you face a 500-mile trip, but I will be with thee. Jacob, it'll be 25 nights at least you'll have to sleep like this out in the open, but I will be with thee. Jacob, there'll be beasts, wild beasts and serpents on the journey, but I will be with thee. Jacob, you may face burglars and robbers and thieves, but I will be with thee. You'll be gone 20 years, but I will be with thee. God says, I am with you, Jacob, but he says, I will be with you, Jacob. That means he'll always be with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Did you know the Lord's going to be in the Civic Center next Sunday morning? Yes, he is. You know why? Of course, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. And this wall will be torn down, all these pews will be taken out, and the furniture will all be gone in probably by tomorrow night. But the Lord, next Sunday morning, we'll meet in the Civic Center, and we'll have basketball nets, and we'll have bleachers, and we'll have a different organ, and we'll have a different pulpit and a different PA system. But you mark my word, God will be there. I will be with thee. I read a story one time about an event that happened in Brooklyn. There was a man in Brooklyn, New York, who was about to go bankrupt. A friend had said, I'll help you out of your trouble. I'll bring you some money. He said, I'll meet you at the Brooklyn City Hall at noon tomorrow. And the fellow, girls, I want to see the two just talking, the one in the plaid dress and the one next to her after the service in my office, please. And he said, I'll meet you at noon tomorrow. I'll have the money. I'll help you out. So noon, the businessman going bankrupt, a very brilliant man, he came at noon to wait for his friend to come and bring the money. The friend wasn't there at noon. He waited until 12:15, and the friend wasn't there. At 12:30, he wasn't there. 12:45, he wasn't there. Finally, at 1 o'clock, he gave up. Then the businessman thought, maybe that was tomorrow. He went back the next day at noon. He didn't show up. He waited until 12:15, 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock. He never showed up. And he went the next day, and the next day. And he was so frantic and so worried and in such trouble. He kept going, and every day. And finally, one day, something happened to his mind. And he went under mentally. And so the rest of his life, every day, he went to that Brooklyn City Hall and waited at 12 o'clock for the man to bring the money. For years and years and years, he never missed a day, they say, waiting for the man to bring the money, 12 and 12:15, 12:30, 1 o'clock. He'd go away after 1 o'clock. And he never came. Did you know you'll never come to meet God what God doesn't meet you? Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee. I am with thee, Jacob. I know you're homesick, but I'm with you. I know you're lonely, but I'm with you. But something more than that, Jacob, I will be with you. And God gives that promise. I will be with you. Then there's another promise that God gives to Jacob, or a statement that Jacob makes. You'll find along the same line, Genesis 31:5. Listen to this, where he says, and said unto him, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. That's the third thought. God, I am with thee, God said to Jacob. I will be with thee, God said to Jacob. And then Jacob said, the God of my fathers hath been with me. Jacob's older now. He's no young squirt going off to a trip. He's older now. He doesn't look forward. He doesn't need now so much. I will be with you. Jacob looks back and remembers how God has been with him. I celebrated my 48th birthday. I'm sorry. I mourned my 48th birthday this last Wednesday. Somebody said, happy birthday. I said, not any such thing when you're my age. And I was 32 when I came to this church. 32. Had hair. Now I'm 48, and still have the hair, by the way. It's in a box at home. And but I'm 48 years of age, and I had a wonderful day. So many sweet little dear. One little girl wrote me a card, and in the card, she said, if nobody else likes you, I do. That's a wonderful, encouraging thing to think of. If nobody else likes you, I do. And I got pennies and nickels, and in some cases where folks were, realize inflation had set up, it was a dime. You folks who gave me a nickel last year, it cost more to live this year. I needed 7 or 8 cents this year. And in some cases a dime and some sweet remembrances. And the kids at school, thanks to the workers and the teachers and others, each little child in the grade school wrote me a private card and told me they loved me. And some folks, one class wrote what my preacher means to me. One fellow had it blank, just nothing there. And you can't wear them all. And I got to thinking how good God's been to me. I told you Wednesday night, 42 years ago, last Wednesday, my mother had a nickel's all she had. We were on relief. That's welfare now. It's called relief back in those days. But that's back when welfare folks were the poorest people. Now the welfare people have the most. I was out at Howard's Meat Market, and I got in line behind this lady. I had some ground beef or something, and got in line. She had porterhouse steaks that thick. She had probably 6 or 8 of them. She had a roast that big around, She had every delicacy that they had, and I thought, boy, I wonder who she is. Boy, she's probably the widow of Martin Luther King Jr. or somebody. I wonder who she is. She was a black lady. And I want to see. And she came time to pay. I said, I'm going to look at her billfold and see how much she's got in it. She pulled out welfare stamps. And I looked at her and I said, be sure and enjoy it. She said, why? I said, I'm paying for it. I looked down at my little ewe lamb. But 42 years ago, last Wednesday night, on my sixth birthday, Mother took a nickel out, and she bought me five little pieces of penny candy, chocolate soldiers, chocolate some little colored fellas. And I'll be a racist bigot from now on. But little chocolate soldiers, and I didn't realize the implication there at all when I started into this. But anyway, she sang on the corner of Hobson and Ewing Street out in front of the Libby's grocery store. She sang happy birthday to me, and she wept. I didn't know why she was weeping. As she gave me the chocolate soldiers, a nickel worth of candy on her birthday. I knew why I was weeping, because all I got for my birthday was five chocolate soldiers. But she wept. God's been good to me. My dad was a drunkard. My dad could hardly read and write. We lived in poverty. We had an outdoor bathroom. I wasn't a bathroom either. We bathed indoors in a number two tub. We had an outdoor toilet. We had two rooms and a path about 50 feet long out to the outhouse. We were very poor. Very poor. And I was thinking how good God's been to me. Oh, what he's done for me. Oh, what he's done for me. If I should try throughout eternity, I could never, never tell you what he's done for me. And I said, Wednesday, I said, Lord, it seems like of all people in the world, you've been the best to me. How good God has been. He has been with me. Jacob, you lonely tonight? Yes, I'm lonely. Jacob, you're homesick? Yes, I'm homesick. Jacob, you miss your mom and dad? I miss my mom and dad. I'm just a young fella. Jacob, you miss your bed? I miss my bed. Jacob, miss the old home place? Miss the old home place. Jacob, I am with thee. And forgive me, but I'd rather be without the old home place and have his presence than have the old home place and not have his presence. But Jacob, that ain't Jacob. Got a long trip? 500-mile trip. Jacob, you afraid? I'm scared to death. What are you afraid of, Jacob? Beasts and serpents and robbers and thieves. Jacob, I will be with thee. And Jacob goes on back to his homeland. He gets a wife. Remember how he worked 7 years to get Rachel? Woke up the next morning. Guess who he had? Her sister. Esau, they sent a telegram to Esau, and Esau said, boy, good enough for it. He got my birthright. Now he had to work 7 years and got the wrong woman. And he worked 7 years and got the 14 years for one woman. Boy, when I get to him, I want to get a good look at Rachel. But he stayed there, got married to Leah, and got married to Rachel. And he had several dozen others. And so Jacob looked back over his life, though he was backslidden, and though he'd been away from God and away from Bethel, Jacob said, my God has been with me. Look back over your life and remember how God has been with you. Then stop and realize that today he's with you. And then shout that the same God who has begun a good work will finish that good work. He'll stay with you all the way through. I'm talking to a lot of heartsick people this morning. Last night, I had my appointments. Seemed like everybody that came in last night cried, or most everybody. Seemed like they had so many heartaches and many tears were shed in my office, as is always the case. And I came over here, had to leave, and left a young lady crying, just brokenhearted. Just absolutely life-wrecked and ruined and brokenhearted. And I came over here, conducted a wedding for a little lady who had seen some awful tough times. And she'd been in my office, I guess, hundreds of times with burdens and heartaches, and the sun wouldn't shine, and the clouds wouldn't break open, and the tears. Now the tears are gone for her for a while, maybe forever, I hope. And she got married, and there was laughter over here. Everybody was laughing. And they took pictures, and I said to the bride and groom, "Act like you're happy. Even if you're not, smile for the picture." And they smiled and laughed. Everybody was laughing here. And I walked down this aisle and out the door. And I said, "That's sort of the way I live. I get somebody happy and then go back to the tears again. I'm always leaving the laughing folks to go with the weeping folks. That's the story of my life. I enjoy it, but that's my life. They don't need me now like they did before. And I'm glad. But there's somebody over there, somebody weeping. So they're laughing over here, weeping over there. I go back to the office and caught the tears of somebody else. And if God will help me, I'll try to help her too. And one of these days, we'll be laughing. And while she's laughing the most and all the problems behind her, I'll tiptoe out of the aisle, go back to the office, and there'll be a new one there with a burden and a heartache and a problem. And I thought, so many people have so many burdens. Last night as I went home, my heart was heavy for some people. And I said, "Lord, I wish there were more people that wanted to help people." And I thought about all those that couldn't get in the office this morning in this room. You don't know all the broken hearts. You don't know all the people. I know some of them. I know many of them. Somebody asked one time, "Brother House, why do you cry so much when you preach?" I said, "It's because of the people in the pews whose hearts are broken. And I know it. I know it. If you knew all the broken hearts and the heavy loads folks carry in this room this morning, you'd be crying too. How sad." I went to the doctor, and you heard me say this. I went to the doctor. I got to where I had something in my throat all the time. I had to clear my throat to get so I'd be heard. I about drowned all the time. And got to where I always had my sinuses and having trouble and snorting and so forth. I could get on the back end of a motorboat. I believe I could make it go. And so I went to the doctor down in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. He looked at my nose and he said, "You got a certain kind of nose." He called a big long name. I said, "What does that mean, good or bad?" He says, "Not bad." He said, "What's your trouble?" I said, "Doc, it's just all the time, just like all the coming down, and it's down in here, and I if I don't get it out, Doc, I'll drown, I'll lose it all." He said, "I know how you can quit." And I said, "How?" He said, "I've heard you preach." He said, "You're my dad's favorite preacher." My dad lives in North Carolina. I think he said Charlotte. He said, "You're his favorite preacher." So my dad would drive 1,000 miles to you, preach one sermon. And I said, "You got a smart dad. What an intelligent dad you have." And he said, I can cure you." I said, "How can you cure me?" He said, "You cry too much while you preach." And I said, "What do you mean, Doc?" He said, "If you quit your crying when you preach, your problem would be solved." And I said, "I'll just go ahead and snort my way to heaven then." You can't carry all the loads I help carry without weeping. You can't catch all the tears I catch. Last night my heart was just in two. Literally. Let me tell you this morning. He said, "I am with thee." Isn't that wonderful? "I am with thee. I will be with thee. I have been with thee." Every Christian here ought to shout, "Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is with me." Amen. The very God of gods, the King of kings and Lord of lords is with me. With me. Last week I had a dream. I dreamed I played golf. My golf was more like a nightmare than a dream. But I dreamed I played golf. And guess who I played with? Arnold Palmer. And President Ford. And John Rice. John Rice was sick and didn't do very well. And strange thing, since it was my dream, I beat Arnold Palmer. And when I woke up, I thought, man, I thought I was with those guys. The Lord says, I'm with you. I am with thee. I was with thee. I will be with thee. Why don't you shout, praise the Lord? God's with me all the time. Jacob, I'm with you. I know you're lonesome. I know you're just a boy. Waiting home for the first time. Miss Mama's cooking. Miss your own soup cooking too, you sissy. Jacob, I'm with you. I know you're not what you ought to be, but I'm with you. I know you tricked Esau and got his birthright, but I'm with you. I know you deceived Esau and your dad Isaac and got his blessing, but I'm with you. Jacob, that isn't all. You got a 500-mile trip. You got 20 years to be away from your mom and dad and your home. I will be with thee. 20 years is over. 20 years is over. Jacob, what you'd like to say? I'd like to say, he hath been with me. And then Jacob comes to die. His life is ended. He calls his children to his bedside, tell them goodbye. Here's Joseph and Jacob's 12 sons. He's going to tell them all goodbye. And Jacob said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. The Lord said to Jacob, I am with thee. I have been with thee. I will be with thee. And then Jacob dies. And the Bible says it's a funny statement. He gathered his feet up in the bed with him. Must have had a half dozen or so. I don't know. He gathered his feet up in the bed with him and gave up the ghost. And personally, I'd give the ghost up. Make me want to die. But he said, gather his feet and die. But first he says, lads, called his sons lads. He said, lads, I want to talk to you. He said, I'm going to die. But he said, fellas, and then Jacob remembered back at Bethel, that lonely night when he was a young boy, when he was scared to death and tired and sleepy and homesick. Went to sleep on that pillow and heard God say, I am with thee. Maybe Jacob wiped a tear from his eye on his deathbed. And he remembered how that the Lord said, I will be with thee. And then Jacob remembered how every word was true because God hath been with me. And Jacob looked up to his boys and said, boys, I'm dying, but God shall be with you. You know what I pray for this church? I pray that God will be with us now. I pray that God will be with us as long as I'm pastor here. And I pray that after you and I have handed the reins to somebody else, I pray that there'll still be some young preacher God calls here with whom God will rest and on whom the power of God can settle. And I hope that our kids, when some more are sitting over here, and you kids are over here, and you're our age, I hope that God is still here in this place. I was thinking through the years about God's presence and God's blessing upon us, and I'll close in a minute. I was thinking how good God's been to us. I was thinking for some reason about the folks we've laid to rest. Last night when I said for the last time from this platform, looking to heaven for divine sanction, in the presence of our God and these assembled witnesses, as an officer of the laws of the state of Indiana, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as your pastor, I now pronounce you as husband and wife. I saw a whole army of young ladies walking down those steps at the same time. Many of you here this morning, most beautiful brides in the world, most of them sweet and chaste and dedicated. And I saw an army of young men walking out this door and standing waiting for their brides to come. And I see this morning. All the scenes we've enjoyed here in this place. I see a casket here. And I see one of our beloved members. And I see a little family sitting over here. Heart hurting so much, it's almost beyond being able to bear. And I've stood here, and I've tried to keep from crying. I thought last night, when John and Madeline Penley came by and looked in the face of little four-year-old Danny, who died with leukemia. He was at Billings Hospital in Chicago. Doctor came in at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, Danny's going to die. John picked Danny up and said, Danny, you're going to go to heaven in a few minutes. What's the thing you'd rather have most? Little Danny said, I want to see my preacher. 3 o'clock in the morning, they called me in. Brother Charlie Hand and I drove to Billings Hospital. I picked little Danny up in my arms, hugged him, and told him I loved him. You don't spend 10 years like we spent here without hating to see it close. I'm so glad he has been with us. I'm so glad he is with us. Praise the Lord. 10,000 times more pleased because he says, I will be with thee. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to the last sermon, Sunday morning sermon in this pulpit. We're finished now. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you that you've been with us. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you will be with us in these days. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'll ask that no one leave the service. No one. That means not one. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is he with you this morning? If you're not saved, he isn't. I want to remind you that God did not say to Jacob, I am with thee until Bethel. Why? I believe Jacob got saved that night. That's why. I believe Jacob got saved. Because after he had awakened from his dream, he said, this is Bethel, the house of the Lord, and I'll surely give the tenth to thee. He said, I've seen the Lord face to face. Have you been saved? Is he with you? Are you a Christian? If you died today, would you go to heaven? I wonder who would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I don't know that if I died today I would go to heaven, but I wish I did know it. Pray for me. Lift your hand for prayer. I'll pray for you if you want me to. On the main floor first. On the main floor. If you don't know that you're a Christian, but you wish you were, raise your hand. I'll pray for you. On the main floor. God bless you. God bless you. And you. God bless you. Who else? On the main floor. You don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Anyone else? In the balcony on my left. You don't know that you're a Christian, but you wish you did. God bless you. I see your hand. God love you. Who else? In the center balcony, lift your hand if you'd like me to pray for you. The center balcony. The balcony on my right, would you raise your hand? God bless you, lady. God love you. Who else? Father, I do pray for these. I do pray for these. I pray that you'd help them this morning to say yes to Jesus and receive him as Savior. Now with our heads bowed, in a moment we're going to stand and sing. If you want to become a Christian, you can be. You leave your seat when we stand and sing and come down the aisle. And let us show you how you can go to heaven when you die. You don't have to go to hell. And you don't have to wonder if you're going to heaven. You can be saved. Would you come and say yes to Christ this morning? If you're here this morning and you have not been baptized, but you have been saved, you ought to get baptized. And if you're here this morning and you need to join our church by transfer, you come and make public your desire to join this church. Won't you do it? Before we stand, may I have your attention just for a minute, please? As I was looking around the building, saying, raise your hand for prayer, I got enough for a dozen sermons, just looking at people and reliving some sweet experiences. I saw Rose O'Brien. Remember the Sunday morning, Paul O'Brien? We thought he'd never get saved, really. What a service we had. The choir couldn't even sing that morning. Lindsay Terry was leading the choir. And during the invitation, I turned around and said, sing, Lindsay, sing. And still they didn't sing. And I said, Lindsay, have the choir sing. And Lindsay looked at me and he said, we can't sing. We're all crying. And I looked up and I saw Judge Clement up here. He was an attorney then. Now he's a judge, one of our men. Remember the night he stood right here at the altar. I'd prayed for him so long, given up hope he'd get saved. Went back and talked to him one night. And I forget exactly, Judge, what you said. But I asked him what to be saved. And he said something about like this. He said, I don't believe what you preach. And something about like that. And I said, why do you come? And he said, I love to hear you preach because you believe it. Something about like that. And I'd given up hope. But the Charlie Hand had gone through his Bible and marked every verse, every promise in the Bible about prayer. And written James Clement's name beside of it. And claimed him. I looked down one night and saw Mr. Clement standing at the altar. I guess I had such little faith. I thought he was here with a message or something. And I said, what do you want? He said, I want to get saved. And I thought, good night. He is lost, isn't he? And I saw him a while ago. I remember that wonderful, wonderful story. Why don't we close with some more wonderful stories? Amen. Why don't you get saved this morning? Why don't you in the balcony, and you in the center, and you over here, and up here on this side, and you back in the back, and you on the main floor, why don't you come this morning and help us write a new chapter, the closing one, but the best one. Shall we stand together? The choir will sing.